The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Daredevils of Hollywood featuring stuntman Bob Rhodes, A Five-Minute Mystery, and big band music on Camel Caravan starring Benny Goodman from 1937. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Daredevils of Hollywood featuring stuntman Bob Rhodes, and also big band music on Camel Caravan starring Benny Goodman from 1937. Right now, here's a five-minute mystery entitled The Bookcase as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Sure, Mr. Ronald, hadn't I better make you a cup of chocolate?
No, thanks, Mrs. Bland. Father's working rather late tonight, isn't he?
In that stuffy old library, too. Suspect I'd better pour in a little extra for that butler of yours, Mr. Bowling.
No, Mrs. Bland. Well, you say that makes one think...
What's that?
Sounded like a truck backfiring out of the road.
Oh, no, Mr. Ronald. It was in this house.
A gunshot? Mrs. Bland, come on.
Mr. Ronald, look. There on the floor.
Why, it's Bowling. He's unconscious. Mrs. Bland, turn on the lights. Bowling, old man. Bowling.
Why, he's being struck on the head, Mr. Ronald. Look.
Someone hit me from behind. Mr. Ronald, your father in the library.
Mr. Ronald, quick.
Oh, Mrs. Bland.
Your father. Fallen forward on his desk. Mr. Ronald, is he?
Yes. He's dead. Mrs. Bland, call the police. This is murder. Tell the inspector whatever he wants to know, Bowling. We've got to find out who murdered my father.
Yes, sir. Well, I was locking the front door when I first heard the voices from the library. I was surprised because I didn't know Mr. Sweeting had a visitor, but just as I approached the library door...
Go on, Mr. Bowling.
Well, sir... I heard the shot. For a moment, I was confused. Then I opened the door, and Mr. Sweeting was lying forward over his desk, a bullet wound in his temple. I saw a piece of paper caught in his hand, sir, and then a tingling sensation of fear flashed up my spine. I knew I wasn't alone, sir. I didn't see anyone, but I realized the murderer was there, and it flashed through my mind that he was waiting till he could get hold of that piece of paper.
Did you take it, Bowling?
I did, sir. That is, I slipped it into a book that was on the desk.
But there's no book here on the desk.
He must have taken it after all. I even remember the title of the book, sir. It was The Widow's Walk, and I slipped the paper between pages 77 and 78. But just as I did...
Yes?
The murderer darted out the door behind me. I whirled and ran after him. The next thing I knew, something struck me over the head.
No, Bowling, you're wrong. Hold out your hands. I arrest you for the murder of your employer, Mr. Sweeting.
What was the one clue that told the inspector Bowling was the guilty man?
In just a moment, you'll hear the inspector explain, but first...
In the month just ahead, there will be many days that are cloudy and gray. Isn't it very important on such days to have your home bright and cheerful? Your kitchen especially, where you spend so many hours? There's one thing that will brighten your kitchen more than anything else. Gleaming linoleum floors kept fresh and spotless with Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat. Glow Coat requires no rubbing or buffing. There's practically no work to it. You just apply Glow Coat, it shines while it dries with no further work from you. It not only keeps your floors beautiful, but it actually makes linoleum last many times longer than an unprotected floor. Glow Coat is safe, easy to use, and sure to please. Try some tomorrow on your floors. Ask for Johnson Self-Polishing Glow Coat. GLO-COAT.
If your talent for detecting is as good as the inspector's.
But how did you know Bowling killed my father, Inspector?
He didn't say anything, far as I can see.
Yes, he did, Mrs. Bland. Striking himself on the head was almost enough to make the whole thing plausible. But he said one thing that told me he was lying. You see, it's impossible to insert anything between pages 77 and 78 in a book, because odd-numbered pages are always on the right, even ones on the left. 77 and 78 are actually the same sheet. It just can't be done.
Introducing the Daredevils of Hollywood.
Hey, Johnny, put a 5K in here, will you? Over a little. Yeah, that's right. Now make it hot.
You want a high hat on this camera, Mr. Martin?
No, that's okay. Well, are you all set, Joe? Have you got that stunt straight?
I think so. I'm supposed to drive this crate around the corner at 60 miles an hour and crash into that plate glass window. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly. You didn't listen, Joe. When you hit that window, hit it. You know what I mean?
Oh, don't worry. I'll spray that drugstore all over the street.
Yeah, good boy. Now take care of yourself. Okay, everybody, okay.
All right, I'll go back about 150 yards, Mr. Martin. That'll give me plenty of run.
Atta boy. Well, all right, everybody. This is the take. Now, quiet, please. Quiet.
Quiet! All set, Mr. Martin.
Okay, give him a signal. Turn him over.
Boy, I hope he makes it.
Hey, listen, don't worry. That boy knows his stuff.
Oh, hey, look at him go around that corner.
From Hollywood, the motion picture capital of the world, we bring you the thrilling true life experiences of those men behind the scenes. Those daring unsung heroes whose breathtaking adventures on the screen have thrilled millions. Whose daily jobs bring them face to face with death. Those men who comprise the strangest fraternity on earth. The Suicide Squad. The movie stuntmen. The Daredevils of Hollywood.
Ladies and gentlemen, in bringing you this copyrighted feature, we are privileged to have as our guest one of the top-notch stuntmen of Hollywood, Bob Rose. It is through his cooperation that we are able to reenact some of the highlights of his dangerous profession. The thrilling scenes you are about to hear are his own actual experiences. Bob Rose is here in the studio right now, and later in the program we will bring him to the microphone. But first, let us learn something of his job.
It is a typical California day in 1921. The picturesque shoreline of Laguna Beach lies stretched out for miles in a lazy sprawl. In some places, smooth beds of white sand glisten in the sunshine, while at other points, large, jagged rocks rear themselves majestically into a peaceful blue sky. At a point in these rocks, we find a single towering stone, which rises to a height of 40 feet, standing some short distance from the shore. It is here that a motion picture company has set up location. Ruth Roland is making a serial, The White Eagle. A very difficult and dangerous scene is to be photographed, and Miss Roland has called in Hollywood's top stuntman, Bob Rose, who is to do that scene. As we near a little makeshift lean-to, which is being used as an office, we find Mr. Van Hayden, the director, his assistant, and Bob Rose. The director speaks.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Bob, this is going to be plenty tough. Frankly, I don't know how you're going to do it.
Don't you worry about that, Mr. Van Hayden. I've never seen one yet that Bob couldn't figure out.
Well, now let's just start from scratch. What is the gag?
Well, Bob, you see that big rock out there all by itself?
Yeah?
We're going to build a grass hut on the top of that rock. We're going to run a telephone pole up through the center to about 40 feet.
And right on top of the pole, we build a little crow's nest, a sort of a lookout. You get the idea?
Yeah, I see. That makes the lookout 85 feet above the water.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the cannibals are supposed to be chasing you, and to escape them, you run up into the crow's nest and pull the ladder up.
I see. And then what happens?
Well, then the cannibals set the grass hut on fire, and that burns the pole in, too.
Yeah, and then the whole works is supposed to fall into the ocean, and you're to dive and save yourself when it falls.
Well, that's practical, all right. The momentum of the fall will throw me clear. The only thing is, that rig won't fall into the ocean. The stiff wind from the sea will blow it right smack into the rocks there on the shore.
Well, how are you going to manage it, Bob?
Well, let's see. The only thing to do is to anchor a boat out there about 200 yards. String piano wire from the top of it to the lookout.
Oh, I see. And then when she starts to burn in two, the boat keeps a tension on the wire and pulls it over into the water, huh?
That's right.
Okay, Bob, we'll rig it up for you. Bill, have the grips do that tonight, will you?
Sure thing.
Well, you know, I'd rather you'd string the wire the last thing, Mr. Hayden. The salt air weakens it, you know.
Well, whatever you say, Bob. Well, now I get to get over to San Pedro and charter a boat, and now we got to build that hut. I think we can shoot this Monday morning.
That's okay with me.
Be seeing you Monday, Bob. Guess we might as well knock off for the day, Bill. Well, so long.
Okay, so long.
For the next 3 days, preparations are made for the big scene. It is now Monday morning. The location set is buzzing with activity. The sound of hammers and saws fades to silence as platforms, grass huts, and other properties shape into being. Every instruction has been carried out to the letter. That is, all but one. Through error, property men have strung the wire too soon. And Bob Rose, after a thorough inspection, has ordered new wire. This order, because of carelessness, has not been observed. So there, soaring into the air 85 feet, stands a tower supported by rusty, corroded strands of wire, attached to a boat 200 yards out to sea. A hard wind is blowing in from the ocean. The high pole is already swaying in the stiff breeze. Bob Rose, unaware of the imperfect rigging, stands at the foot of the ladder, puffing a cigarette. He is chatting with the director.
Well, how do you feel, Bob?
Oh, I'm okay. This is a cinch as long as that wire doesn't break.
Well, if something does happen, maybe you can just dive into that little channel there between the big rock and the shore.
Yeah, that'll be all right if the breakers happen to be rolling in just then. But the waves are running back to sea. Well, the channel would only be about a foot deep.
Oh, I think everything's going to be okay. Let's hope so anyway. Well, how about it? All set?
Sure, anytime. I'm ready.
Okay, everybody. All ready. Here we go. Now, Bob, you get up there and we'll take a picture.
This is it. Ready, everybody!
All right, now quiet down. Hey, stick a match to that hut now. All right, camera.
Boy, that baby burns like gasoline, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Look, that pole is catching already. Say, that wind is certainly blowing.
Hey, take up the slack in that wire, man. Take up that slack and keep pulling it over.
Oh, there goes the wire.
Hey, for the love of Pete, the wire's broken.
Gee whiz.
And the pole is going to fall.
Look, he's rocking it. He's trying to break it over into the water.
Yes, but he can't do that. The wind is blowing it back. It's falling. Look out!
Hey, hurry up! Fire extinguishers! Put out that fire!
Bob, where are you? Here I am, Mr. Van Hayden. Come on over here.
All right, Bob.
Over here in this channel. Boy, it's sure a lucky thing that.
that big wave came in or I'd never have made it.
Oh, boy, what a narrow escape. Say, you rode that falling tower to about halfway down.
Yeah, plenty luck, all right. But say, well, come on, let's get going. What are you waiting for? Let's rig up another tower and make that next scene.
Oh, no, that one was good enough for me. Say, boy, that's better than we planned.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure to present the courageous young man who not only made that scene, but hundreds like it. Bob Rose, interviewed by Kurt Forman.
Well, you certainly had us going there for a minute, Bob. That was plenty exciting.
It was pretty exciting at the time, too.
Bob, tell me, how long have you been doing stunts for the movies?
Now you're trying to find out my age, and I won't tell you. But I did work with Pearl White, Ruth Roland, Eddie Polo, and a lot of those. That ought to give you some idea.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, have you ever been injured in all these years?
No, not seriously. There was a funny thing happened on an airplane gag once, though. Dick Grace was supposed to fly the ship. I was to do a transfer from a motorboat to the plane. Well, it was on location down near San Pedro. The name of the picture was The Haunted Valley, also with Ruth Roland. It was a very simple gag. All I had to do was stand on a speedboat and grab a rope ladder that hung down from the airplane. Everything looked all right to me. The boat was plenty fast, and well, I wasn't worried about the plane. Dick Grace, you know, can fly for me any day. But this old boy with the boat, he wanted to argue with us. He was telling me that he could take his boat...
Now, looky here. If you young upstarts think you can tell me how to run a boat, you got another thinker coming. Why, I've been running boats for nigh on 40 years.
Well, that's just fine, Pop. But you see, airplanes can't turn as sharp as boats. When you go around that lighthouse, make your turn wide. Get the point?
Of course I get the point. Of course I get it. You just leave this boat to me. I'll handle her.
Okay. Crank her up and let's get going. You're all set, aren't you, Dick?
Sure, sure, anytime.
Very idea. Them fellas are telling me how to run a boat. I'll show them.
Hey, Bob, give me a crank, will you?
Sure. Switch off. Contact.
Contact. I'll be seeing you on the landing gear, Bob.
Okay, Pop. Ready to ride? Let's get her going. Right out here, Pop, in the smooth water.
You fellas sure got a funny way of making a living, ain't you?
Yeah, I guess so, Pop, but not bad, though. Now, here he comes. Remember that wide turn around the lighthouse? Take it easy, Pop. Widen your turn. You're going too close to the lighthouse, Pop. Take it easy.
Grab that ladder, son. Hang on. Hang on.
It's dragging me off the boat. Widen your turn, Pop.
Holy mackerel. It's dragging him through the water. Whoopee. 85 miles an hour. Look at him bounce.
Well, Bob, you certainly were in a tough spot there.
Yeah, I sure was.
What happened? What did you do?
Well, I bounced along there for a while. An awful long while, it seemed to me. Then I hit a big swell that threw me all over the place. Well, threw me way up into the air, to be exact. That gave the ship a chance to gain altitude, and I climbed up the ladder and just got on the plane.
It's too bad that you had to suffer for that old fellow's mistake. Now, look, what did you, how did you happen to get into this business?
Well, just one of those things, you know. Just had to happen, that's all there was to it. I decided to be an aviator, and stuntman, there I was. Anyhow, it's a long, long story if I were to tell you all of it. I started out as a race jockey when I was 9 years old. Then about the age of 15, I started motorcycle racing, Wild West shows, high diving acts, and all kinds of things like that. Then I finally got to doing those things for the movies.
Bob, if you had your life to live over again, would you be a stuntman?
I sure would, boy.
Uh-huh.
Would a duck do without its wings?
Uh-huh. Well, you've certainly given us an exciting and an entertaining time. And on behalf of our listeners, I want to sincerely thank you for coming here. I know that everyone joins me in hoping that we may have you on this program again very soon. Goodbye, old man, and happy landing.
day you caught my eye. I hope that we two will ever say goodbye.
Clouds of gray have silver linings when they reverse. I've found your love, and that's when you'll pay cloudburst.
Hey, baby, I'm tell you about your love, and then you kiss me, and you're hugging, and you're sweet to the loving pretty baby. I won't be satisfied till a year and play here comes the bride. Listen to me, baby, and I don't mean maybe. Listen to my story, it's terrifically true. I want to find a way of telling you that I really go for you. I hope you really believe me, baby, because you certainly do. Because you're thrilling me, really, really thrilling. When you tell me that you probably got a kind of crush on me, it moves me, grooves me. How divine can one woman be? Little darling, I'm really falling. Because I'm goofy and gay, I'm going to get carried away. Just think you're going to be mine someday. Oh, let's spin a little, pack a little, stop a little, spark a little, live a little, love a little, maybe turn around a little, baby. Every time you hold me so near, nobody does me like you, dear. Let's stop a little, tease a little, later maybe squeeze a little, try a little, sigh a little, never have to cry a little bit. No denying that you're mighty pretty and that's it. Because I love you, baby, 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 with all my heart. Ooh, listen to me while I say a little, ladies, get away, because I know, pretty baby, I know, pretty baby, I know you're the one. Yes, you're the one. I knew it when I met you. Want to break to get you.
But it's cloudy and gray, and that's the worst part. Of course, clouds are burning.
You just find a lover, find a lover, find a lover, find a lover, find a lover.
Silvery under clouds of gray, cloudy and chase the gray away.
You gotta find a little girl and make her love you a lot. Don't ever leave unless you flip me. You didn't really want to ruin the plot.
Sounds easy, does it?
Light as a breeze through the trees, boy.
How pleasant was it?
Pleasant as one summer breeze, boy.
What a love to do.
I'm a lucky lover, I got the love you should discover.
I was blue and I was always wearing a frown, because my gal had turned me down. Then we met and you can bet I knew from the first you were my love, cause that's when the old gray cloud burst.
Take a look at me, boy, take a look at me, take another look, take another look, take another good long look at me, love, open my eyes and now I see.
Clouds of gray has silver linings when they're reversed. I found your love, and that's when the old gray cloud burst. That's when the old gray cloud burst.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio, featuring John Hendricks and the Dave Lambert Singers with Cloudburst from 1955. We also heard Daredevils of Hollywood featuring stuntman Bob Rose and A Five-Minute Mystery. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, big band music on Camel Caravan, starring Benny Goodman from 1937, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Tuesday evening session of everybody, everywhere, who gets a lift from this thing called swing. Tonight, the King of Swing presents the world's greatest swing band, the Goodman Instrumental Trio and Quartet, and our sweetheart of swing, Martha Tilton, all brought to you by the makers of Camel Cigarettes.
evening, student. This is Benny Goodman. Here we are again with your weekly welcome from Camels and the Swing School.
And what manner of syncopated instruction are you dishing up tonight, Professor?
Doctor, don't be in such a hurry. We'll take up the lessons as we come to them.
Oh, that might be called progressive education.
My, Doctor, you have names for everything, haven't you?
Well, I haven't got the name of your first tune yet. Are you keeping it a secret?
Not from you, Doctor. Page one of tonight's chapter is that good old sweet swing classic, Stardust.
And the school loves it, Professor. Shoot! Sweetheart of swing, Martha Tilton. This scintillating school marm has a swell new tune entitled If It's the Last Thing I Do. Her lecture is strictly in the groove, and if you like it, well, maybe Martha will let you stay after school.
Thank you.
last thing I do, I'll take your hand. And though you won't say a word, you'll understand. I'll build a dream just for two, and then I'll make it come true. If it's the very last thing I do.
When you hear people talking about smoking these days, this has apt to be the conversation.
Say, this cigarette tastes different.
Well, that's because it's a Camel. The Camel people pay millions of dollars more for choicer tobaccos.
Well, this is good going. I'd say that people must appreciate the fact that Camel uses costlier tobaccos.
Well, you know, Camels are the largest selling cigarette in America.
And he's right. Camel's matchless blend of finer, more expensive tobaccos, Turkish and domestic, does make a difference. Camels are the largest selling cigarette in America or in the world. The chamber music department swings into line to demonstrate that time cannot wither nor custom stale the charm of a really good tune. The professor, Dr. Wilson, and Dr. Krupa with clarinet, piano, and drums, and that ancient but very vigorous ditty, After You've Gone.
Why, Doctor, weren't you quoting Shakespeare?
Well, yes, Professor.
Well, couldn't you work in something about my kingdom for a Camel?
Let's get on with the program, Professor. Sentimental song with the most appealing title. The professor tells me that the melody is fine, too, and Martha Tilton is about to prove it. The title is You Took the Words Right Out of My Heart.
And she took the Camels right out of your overcoat, too, Doctor, in case you wonder where they are.
Thank you.
took the words right out of my heart, and it was like a bolt from the blue. You took the words right out of my heart when you said I love you. When you said I love you, I stood in a daze a while, for I felt that way too. The moment I saw you smile, I had the words and you in my heart. There wasn't room enough for the two. You took the words right out of my heart and left only room for you.
Much explanation. It's just an old swingaroo and a good one. Yes, Professor?
And may I add, we hope it reflects the spirit of the swing school?
A well-made point, Professor. Tell them what it is.
Why, it's laughing at life, and we hope you're the same.
Thank you. Covering the sports news in this great sports-loving country is a job that must be done in high gear, at top speed. Until the presses actually start, a sports editor is keyed to work under tension. Then there's a letdown, and that's when a lift sure is welcome. Stuart Cameron, crack sports editor of a famous press association, says,
"Man, what a delightful lift in energy I get with a Camel when I'm tired. They help boost my energy over the tough spots. I know a lot of America's great athletes intimately. Lou Gehrig, Lenore Kite Wingard, Bill Tilden, Ralph Guldall, Buster Crabb, Gene Sarazen, Carl Hubble. And it's mighty impressive how the champions agree that Camel sure hit the spot."
Sports editor Cameron knows how to pick champions. And he knows his stuff when it comes to cigarettes because he says,
"I'd walk a mile for a Camel."
Well, I see the professor and Doctors Wilson, Krupa, and Hampton ready to start work on clarinet, piano, drums, and vibraphone. So I feel kind of safe in saying that the Board of Trustees is in session. Professor, what are we about to hear?
Well, now, Doctor, we don't have to introduce this one. Everybody knows Nagasaki.
Right, Professor. Proceed. Dividend. And this one is in the form of a third song by Martha Tilton, and we think you'll like it. Don't we, Professor?
We do indeed, Doctor. And I'll make a prediction about this number. It's a brand new song called "Mama, That Moon's Here Again." And I prophesy that it will be one of the big song hits of the winter.
So you can forecast the future, eh? A sort of syncopated fortune-telling?
Just cross my palm with Campbell's, Doctor. Come on, Martha. Thank you.
This week, we had an unusual number of requests for the swing choice of the week. We'd like to play Everything Everybody Wants, but we can't. However, we do feel sure that no one will be disappointed in the winner. Today's Killer Diller Boys and Gals, Big John Special. Pipe smokers, a good pipe, and Prince Albert, the national joy smoke. That makes just about the tastiest, mellowest pipe smoking there is. PA is crimp cut to burn slow and cool. Its no-bite process makes it easy on the tongue, and its full, rich flavor is a guarantee of smooth, tasty smoking from start to finish. For honest-to-goodness pipe pleasure men, Prince Albert.
This is Benny Goodman saying goodnight for Camels in the Swing School. We'll be back with you again next Tuesday.
And so the Camel Caravan rolls on. Next Tuesday, the caravan will return at this same time with radio's first double feature program. Jack Okey College and Benny Goodman Swing School. Both brought to you by the makers of Camel cigarettes. And remember, Camel set you right. Dan Seymour speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and Camel Caravan, starring Benny Goodman, first broadcast on radio on November 16th, 1937. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.